Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Well, the NBA gave us plenty of drama last night. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm excited to talk NBA basketball today. I'm not a big fan of the play-in rounds. I like 7 and 8 being 7 and 8. I don't think 9 and 10 should have an opportunity to sneak in, but last night was good basketball. Much different than what we got the night before with the Eastern Conference. I thought Memphis and San Antonio was entertaining, the Lakers and the Warriors. We knew it would be entertaining. I figured the Lakers would win, and I thought they would pull away late and comfortably win, which nearly happened. Overcome a 12-13 point deficit. They take a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. And Golden State rallied to take the lead again. And it took a LeBron James heroic three-point shot for the Lakers to fend off Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about this later on in the show because if you're a Jazz fan, you were glued to the TV last night. And I'm still sticking to my original thought. You wanted the Lakers to win last night. You wanted LA to win. I thought the Lakers played dreadful in that first half. In fact, it was beyond dreadful. LeBron and Anthony Davis were so bad in the first half last night. The Lakers had to overcome a double-digit second-half deficit, which they did. And we started to see them play a little bit more like the team that I believe we will see in the playoffs, a team that I believe will beat Phoenix now that we know they're the 7th seed. But what does it mean for Utah? Golden State, what do you think of this Warriors team? I think Utah gets Golden State out in 5-6 at the absolute most. I don't think the Warriors can take Utah 7. But one of the things that has to be talked about, the Warriors are very, very good defensively. They're pesky. Their perimeter defense is pretty good. And we saw them really get to the Lakers early last night. Eventually, talent wins out. And that's why Golden State will be able to hang, take one, maybe two from Utah, but they won't beat them 4 times. I just don't see it happening. Still, if I'm a Jazz fan tomorrow night, Warriors-Grizzlies, I'm rooting for the Grizzlies because the Jazz will get rid of Memphis in 4 games. Steph Curry will win 1 game on his own. You throw in a Kevon Looney, a Draymond Green, you know, a healthy Golden State backcourt, as healthy as they can be without Klay Thompson. They're going to get one of the Bay Area for sure. So if they find a way to sneak one out at Vivint, things get interesting in that series. So root for Memphis tomorrow. We'll talk more NBA basketball. That's coming up in just a bit here on Drive Time Sports. Good news for the Jazz, though. Donovan Mitchell did practice today, and he expects to play on Sunday. See, this is where the play-in game really helped Utah. They're going to end up playing the 8 seed anyway, more than likely. But it gave Donovan Mitchell a full week's rest, which does matter. And I know he's ramped up basketball activities over the last couple of weeks. But if Donovan Mitchell was not close to 100%, a Jazz-Lakers or Jazz-Warriors series becomes that much more interesting. But now we know that he's expected to play on Sunday when the Jazz face either Golden State or Memphis. So again, more NBA talk coming up in just a bit here on Drive Time Sports. Let's take a look at the national headlines. And the Jacksonville Jaguars made it official today by signing Tim Tebow to the roster. He is now a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, a 1-year deal. He's going to wear number 85, and he took part in a voluntary closed workout today. Tebow did release a statement, said, quote, "I want to thank the Jaguars for the opportunity to compete and earn a chance to be a part of this team. I do not believe that Tim Tebow will be on the opening day roster. I don't." And I know that this garners a lot of attention because, A, it's Tim Tebow. He hasn't been in the NFL since 2015. That was the last time he played football. That was a preseason game as well. We've seen him as an analyst. We've seen him in minor league baseball. He asked Urban Meyer for a tryout in February. Worked out at least twice for Jacksonville. That's what we know. And right now he's the sixth tight end on the roster. But the story that people wanted to run with, why is it that Tim Tebow can get an opportunity and not Colin Kaepernick? And I know exactly where people want to go with this. Those who ask that question, I know exactly where you're trying to go. And I refuse to bite on that particular topic. Because Tim Tebow won multiple national championships with Urban Meyer. And he decided, I'll try this NFL thing out again at a position change. He knows he's not an NFL quarterback now. I mean, that's all this is. I think you bring a guy like Tim Tebow in. I don't think it's bad for the locker room. He understands what Urban Meyer is going to expect. I think that can rub off on players. They have six tight ends on the roster. He's not going to be on that opening day roster. There's no way. When you look at Mannertz and O'Shaughnessy and Farrell and Ellefson and Davis, there's no way Tebow makes this roster. And I know that this guy has a huge, huge following. I've said a million times, I think this guy's a class act. I have no problem with Tim Tebow. I just know that he's not a very good NFL quarterback. Now he gets a chance at tight end. Don't make this about anything else other than the fact that his former college coach is bringing him in. That's it. That's all this is. A one-year deal, non-guaranteed money, and that's it. And again, it's a national headline because it's Tim Tebow, and he is one of the most decorated college football players of all time. He's a top 40, top 50 college football player ever. I think you can make the argument that he's a top 10 quarterback of all time in college football. That's the only reason why. There's no reason to connect Tim Tebow with Colin Kaepernick. Zero. Don't do it. And don't buy in to those that want to connect the two because they have nothing to do with each other. Nothing. Tebow now officially a Jaguar. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. We had plenty of day games. And the San Francisco Giants just continue to roll. They stroll past the Cincinnati Reds earlier today, 19-4. Johnny Cueto gets the victory, former Red. Steven Duggar hit his first career grand slam. They had a 9-run third inning. And the Giants continue to roll now, 28-16. Earlier today, the defending AL champ, Tampa Bay Rays, they moved to 26-19 as they picked up a 10-1 victory over the Baltimore Orioles. The Yankees, fresh off of a no-hitter from Corey Kluber, shut out the Rangers. Although Texas did record six hits today, they couldn't record any runs. 2-0 Yankees get the win, 25-19. We all knew the Yankees would bounce back eventually and start playing better baseball. They got off to a dreadful start. There's no reason to panic in baseball. It's a long season. Yankees get the win today. Cubs defeat the Nationals 5-2. And we have plenty of night baseball coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We get the Marlins and Phillies, Twins, Angels, Pirates, Braves, Red Sox, Blue Jays. Red Sox still playing great ball, by the way. I kind of put the Red Sox in the same category as the Giants. Two teams that I just keep waiting to fall back down to earth, but it's not happening. I mean, they're playing great baseball. They take on the Blue Jays. Red Sox ahead of the Blue Jays right now in the AL East. And then in the nightcap is the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. David Price, former Red Sox, will be on the mound tonight for the Dodgers, looking for a sweep of the Diamondbacks. Plenty of games going on right now. Astros on top of the A's, and the Angels just strolling past the Twins. A hefty advantage in this contest. So that's what's happening right now in the national sports scene. One more play-in game. It's win or go home tonight in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. The Pacers take on the Wizards. I want to talk about this game coming up in just a bit. Two teams with losing records that have a chance to eke into the playoffs as the 8 seed. Is it Bill and Westbrook, or is it the Pacers and Sabonis? We'll talk about that as well. Local sports recap is coming up, and we will continue to wrap up the 2021 spring sports season. Today we're going to start Emory High School baseball. Coach Rob Smith will join us next segment live in the studio. That's coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We're back in just a moment.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We'll continue on our baseball season wrap-ups today. We have more coming out of the high school realm. We're going to talk Emory High School athletics. The Spartans put together a pretty solid baseball season. had an opportunity for a Region 12 championship late in the season, and then made a pretty decent run throughout the one-loss bracket. Joining us right now to talk about that more, we have manager Rob Smith in the studio. Coach, pleasure to get you back in today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Yeah, always look forward to it, Coach. We'll start by talking about the way the state tournament went. We talked to you after the first set of games. So a win over Morgan, it was highly impressive. And then you guys had Juab on the ropes, and they pull away late, pick up a two-run win, drops you down to the one-loss bracket. And, Coach, it's never an easy place to go.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough place to play. In the one-loss bracket, you got to have pitching. You got to hit the ball well. You got to compete game in and game out. It's a lot of games in a short period of time.
That first game against North San Pete, you guys win 12-11. And that's really kind of the game that I would anticipate in the one-loss bracket, right? Because sometimes coaches are saving pitching. You're looking at pitching a little bit different. You guys did hit the ball well. You scored 12 runs.
Right. A game got out of hand. It was a 10-3 start of the top of the seventh inning. Couple mistakes, and it's all of a sudden we're losing, have to come back and walk it off. That was frustrating. Game should have been over right then, before they scored a run, but that's kind of been the moral of the story all year, is make the easy plays we need to.
I mean, you just mentioned the word frustrating. I'm sure for a manager it's frustrating. Was it frustrating for the kids to know that they were this close to ending games throughout the entire year?
Yeah, and that's one thing we talked about as a team. Go play a full game. Go finish a game. Don't relax once you get two outs. I mean, you look at the Richfield games. We had Richfield twice on the ropes, if not ahead, and just didn't finish the game. The Juab game, we played great defense. The ball didn't bounce our way with that game, but at the same time, we're right there.
So you guys beat North San Pete, Coach. You got to move on and face Carbon, who ends up going all the way to the state championship game. You guys split the season series 1-1. How confident were you going into this game against Carbon, knowing that the last time you saw the Dinos, you beat them?
Carbon is a great baseball team. I knew it was going to be tough. They pitch well, they hit well, they play good defense. We saw it. They gave Grantsville a run for their money. I think they were a little dead in that third game on a Saturday in 85 degrees on turf. I think they ran out of gas. I think Carbon, one of the best teams in the state, if not the best. They're a great team. That's all I can say. You got to put the ball in play. The Fault kid threw awesome against us. Shut us down. We didn't hit. And that was the difference in the game.
When the season comes to an end, Coach, you did have a lot of seniors, a lot of kids that played key roles on this year's team. And we'll talk about the senior class in just a moment. But when the season comes to an end, what do you tell those kids who are never going to suit up for Emory High School again?
And that one thing I said to them is, remember the life lessons you learn from baseball. Anything that happened in baseball, you can relate it back to life and how you dealt with it in baseball and how you deal with it in life. And that's the biggest thing about baseball, and that's why I love baseball so much, is it relates to life.
I'm sure the senior class probably holds a special place for you. You basically have seen these kids come all the way through the high school program, right? And that's what coaches, they build for. You want to take that first freshman group. You want to see them all the way through. You got to see that with this
team. Yeah, and they're great kids. I had six of them. They were there the whole way. Great kids. I couldn't say enough about them. Their character, their work ethic. The day in and day out, they worked hard.
Let's talk about some of the kids that are moving on. Some of the kids got recognized for All Region 12. I think this is a great place to start. When we talk about Jax Madsen, who really just does the little things to you. When you look at his statistics from the overall season, it's nothing that's eye-popping. But if you pay attention throughout the entire year, Jax does the little things for you guys, both in the field and at the plate.
Yeah, offensively, he's our leadoff hitter. I think he struck out twice all year. Always put the ball in play, gave us a chance to get on. Would take a walk if he needed to. But, he always gave us a chance to have the leadoff guy on base. And that's what you asked for. Defensively, he was locked down in the outfield.
Luke Stilson's another one that gets an all-region recognition, and I'm sure there's going to be some all-state recognition for Luke as well. He put together a fantastic senior season.
Yeah, and I mean, Luke's been, he's been playing varsity the last 3 years, you know, with the short season we had last year. He's got a great swing, puts the ball in play, plays great defense, pitches well. He's a true leader on and off the field.
There were a couple of times this year you had mentioned his individual performances on the mound, and sometimes it doesn't always show, again, if you're just looking at box scores, but you're able to see the control, the command, and the way he was able to pretty much handle games. And he was solid for you guys on the mound all year.
Yeah, he was. There's a few games I can think back. He threw really well against Manti in our tournament, shut Manti out. Manti made a run in the state tournament as well. And Luke shut him out.
A junior that got all region recognition is Jace Mangum. And I don't know that you and I have really talked a whole lot about Jace. We've seen him on the football field. We saw him on the basketball court. But he did do some great things on the baseball diamond this year, too.
Yeah, he's, I mean, not offensively, he hit the ball well. He's our cleanup spot. Had a lot of RBIs, put the ball in play. You know, and that's one thing with high school baseball is put the ball in play and give yourself a chance to score runs.
Again, our guest right now is manager Rob Smith of the Emory High School baseball team. So, Coach, you talked about the seniors a little bit, some of the other kids that are going to be moving on. Now, Riggs Griffin's another senior we haven't talked about yet. So when you look at the senior group, do you feel that they have done enough to set up your sophomores and your juniors next season for success? I mean, I would assume that's ultimately what you have to look at with the senior class.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, the seniors, they are great examples on work ethic, good leaders that way. The freshmen, sophomores see that. They did practice with us every once in a while, and they pushed each other, and that's what you want to see. That's what helps build a program. So hopefully we can keep improving over this summer and go from there, and hopefully those younger kids will step up and replace those seniors. I mean, they got shoes to fill, and that's what we hope for, is that they have the drive to fill those shoes.
So looking at the freshman, sophomore, junior class, soon to be your sophomore, junior, senior class, how comfortable do you feel moving into next season?
I feel we're going to be competitive again. We do lose some offense, but hopefully there will be some kids that step up and can replace those kids.
Do you like your freshman group coming in?
Don't know much about the freshman group coming in, but yeah, from what I've heard, there's a few of them. Actually quite a few of them, and so, you know, the more kids that play, the better. And that's kind of where Emory's been down. Like, had three seniors last year, four another year. You know, it's good to have a bigger group coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. From a leadership standpoint alone. Coach, I mentioned that you guys had a chance to win a Region 12 championship late in the season. When we started the year, that's pretty much all you could ask for, right? An opportunity. I know there were some close games with Richfield. Very easily could have won both of those games. And then you did earn a split with Carbon. A region championship was right there.
Yeah, I mean, we play clean games in the four losses that we did have in region. And we could have very easily come out undefeated.
Yeah, or at least earned a split of the title.
Or a split of the title, for sure. I mean, you look back at the first Carbon game, they 10-runned us. We had four errors that cost us all those runs. So, it's the moral of the story is play clean baseball.
You've been preaching that all year long.
Yeah.
Coach, going into next season, I know the region's going to look a little bit different. You'll have a lengthy road trip. You get Canyon View in the region next year. Do you like the makeup of it, knowing what we know this year, looking ahead to next season?
Yeah, I mean, it's... You lose the trip to Blanding. I think the trip to Canyon View might be a little easier. But it's still a road trip. It's still a nice drive. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, the region's still going to be tough. You see our region year in and year out competes. So
yeah. Coach, what's the off-season hold?
We're looking to do some tournaments, play some games. We're looking at doing weekly workouts, you know, just honing up the skills, the fundamentals, trying to, you know, build the program, see what kind of pitching we have coming up. and just developing kids.
I know the summer is so crucial for a baseball program. Not a lot you can do once fall hits. Not a lot you can do in the winter. There's not a lot you can do in the spring, early spring. And so you guys probably put a lot of emphasis, I would assume, moving forward on the summers.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's kind of been the tough thing with where we're at is, you know, most of our athletes, most of our baseball players play football, basketball, and they're doing camps and workouts every day almost during the summer, and that's where it gets hard is trying to fit some baseball games in there too. So,
well, Coach, it's been fun to follow the team throughout the year. I always appreciate you making out the time throughout the week, be it over the phone or stopping into the studio. Fun to cover the team, fun to follow them. Thank you, and congratulations on another season.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. Right after this, we'll flip over and talk NBA basketball. We're one day away from finding out who the Utah Jazz will face in the opening round. Last night, we had a thriller. Lakers-Warriors. L.A. clinches the 7th spot. Should Phoenix be concerned? We'll talk about that next when we return.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're going to talk NBA basketball here on Drive Time Sports. Have to talk about the excitement last night. The play-in round has definitely brought a little bit of injury. There's no question. You get LeBron and Steph Curry on the court playing for the 7th seed. I don't think that Adam Silver could have drawn that up any better. It was a big night for the Utah Jazz as well. Jazz fans were watching with a lot of intrigue. Is it going to be the Lakers? Is it going to be the Warriors? It would have been worst-case scenario, I think, for Utah had Golden State won that game last night. LeBron, some heroics. Lakers come out on top. Golden State's not a for-sure matchup for the Jazz, but it seems pretty logical. What does that mean? We'll talk about that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have Jamison Welsh. And Jamison, been an NBA insider here on Drive Time Sports for the last decade or so. Jamison, been a couple of weeks, but it's great to get you back on the show. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Well, let's start by talking about the Utah Jazz. And as far as the potential matchup, we'll get to that in just a moment. The good news for the Jazz and for Jazz fans, Donovan Mitchell is back practicing. He does expect to play Sunday. He's missed more than a month. And this is a nice welcoming party for the Jazz to get back into the playoffs. We've seen this team with some ups and downs in the regular season. I think we can take that, wrap it up, throw it away because there's so many variables to the regular season, especially late. It's really hard to peg. But knowing that Donovan Mitchell is going to be back in uniform on the court Sunday, that right there, again, it's something to celebrate if you're in Utah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great celebration. Being the number one seed out west is always a good thing. It's a very, very rough, it's a very rough draw, man. Potential draw anyway. If you get Memphis is a good team, but if you get Golden State with Steph playing the way he's been playing, it's a tough draw, man. It really is. I actually feel sorry the top two teams out west a little bit because you have a great season, you do all this hard work, and you get these two teams? Tough. But the Jazz have had a really good season. They are in a situation where they have home court. They're able to play against a team that has had to win or had to play two extra games and travel to them. So we'll see what happens. But they're in a good spot. You know, Jordan Clarkson's had a good year. Donovan Mitchell's coming back from injury. Gobert's had, he was the player of the year type season. So they have a really, really good team and a good shot going into the playoffs thus far.
Yeah, as far as the Jazz and the draw is concerned, and I've had this conversation with you throughout the entire season, Jamison. There's so many variables to consider with the regular season. I'm not trying to take anything away from Utah. They finished with the best record in the NBA. Kudos to them. But the regular season was such a short offseason. Provided us with so many differences that we have never seen before. So you talk about the bad draw for Utah. If it is in fact Golden State, and I anticipate it will be Golden State, it's not your traditional 8 seed. On top of that, we're watching Steph Curry just do some incredible, incredible things. But for those who are unfamiliar with Golden State, maybe you watched the game last night, you saw how good this team can be defensively. There are some matchup problems that Utah will run into. I believe they take care of Golden State in a 7-game set. I do believe that. But I don't believe it's a 5-game or less series.
Nah, I think, Jordan, I think we're looking at a long series. Don't let Golden State get in one of the first two. They're going to get one in the Bay. Like, they're going to get one. So if they get one of the ones, first two in Utah, you got a 2-2 series going back to Utah for game five. Anything and everything is possible. So it's one of those things to where we'll see. You know, we'll see what takes place. We'll see what happens. But as of right now, I would favor the Jazz. But it's not a good draw just because if you play Steph, Steph is liable to win any game. He's that good. He's that lethal. And the thing is, when he gets hot, you have to change your defense up. So now you're committing extra guys. When you commit extra guys, that means guys are open. So Bazemore, Toscano Anderson, Mulder, all those guys get the pass, and now shoot open threes. NBA players are going to knock down open threes. So it'll be very interesting to see. I think Utah's probably rooting for Memphis in this draw. I think they'd probably see Memphis on Friday, win the game on Friday. But if they get Golden State, man, that's a tough, tough draw. It's a tough, tough first-round series.
Oh, well, look, let's be honest. If it was the Lakers in the first round, I'm taking the Lakers to win that series in six. If it's Golden State, I'm taking Utah to win it in six. If it's Memphis, I'm taking Utah to win it in four. It's very simple. Same thing with San Antonio. If it had been the Spurs that came out of that game with Memphis, Utah sweeps that series. So there's the difference. And I think that speaks to the parity that we've seen in the Western Conference. And I also believe it speaks to the variables that have been thrown at us this year. In fact, as you and I were talking during that last commercial break, Jameson, for the first time in the modern era, the Lakers, a 7 seed, favored over a 2 seed in the first round of the playoffs.
I mean, we got to add some context to it, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's wild, because Lakers are a 7 seed, but they're not a 7 seed, and Golden State's not an 8 seed. Like, we watching the game last night, that was like 2-4 seeds or a 4-5. Like, that wasn't a 7-8 matchup. Like, that's not the norm. Those teams are better than where they're seated, but they are where they are for various reasons. With all that being said, the Suns, there's a possibility the Suns get swept. Lakers have not looked as clean as they have lately, but matchups are everything. The Lakers, outside of like the guard matchups, man, it's bad for the Suns. Like, the bigs, Lakers have better bigs, they have better wings, they have a better bench, deeper bench experience. They're going to need an all-time series from their backcourt. When I mean all-time, they're going to need Chris Paul and Devin Booker to do something I just don't think they're capable of doing versus a good defensive team. So we'll see what happens. But, man, the Lakers are in a really good – the Lakers got a really good bracket. The Lakers got the good side of the bracket if they can stay healthy and they can take advantage. They have Phoenix, who's young and not as deep and kind of small as a team, and then they get the winner of Denver-Portland. You got a banged-up Denver versus Portland's learned defense. The Lakers got a pretty good draw.
Man, they got a pretty good draw, and if you look at the other side of the bracket, yeah, the Clippers basically tanked to make sure they got the 4 seed. The Clippers didn't want to run into the Lakers into the second round. Let's be honest. I mean, that was a tank job to get the 4 seed, which means that the Clippers look at the Lakers as a much bigger task than, say, the Utah Jazz, and maybe that's something that you could use as motivation. I don't know, but Jameson, we got to call a spade. That's the way things went down. The Clippers wanted to avoid the Lakers, and yes, they eyed the Utah Jazz in round number two. Let's be honest.
I mean, I'll put it this way. The Clippers should be ashamed of themselves. It's one thing losing to the Rockets, you know, like at home. The Rockets are bad, but at least they try to win games. Okay, so he was like on a 20-game losing streak when that took place. Like, they had, I think, 21 games in a row or something like that. So, like, losing that team, like, come on, man. Like, what's really going on? But they went out of their way to avoid the Lakers, and that told me everything I need to know about them. If you're trying to beat the champs, you don't do that. You welcome them wherever they're at. So that told me a lot about them, their makeup, their mindset. I wouldn't trust anything about that team at this moment. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. But healthy Utah probably gets the Clippers out anyway, so it may not even matter.
Again, Jameson Welsh, our guest right now, our NBA insider, as we talk about what we have seen from the play-in round so far. Jameson, I'm not a huge fan of it. But last night, it was unique. I mean, we're talking about a one-game playoff. We've never seen a one-game playoff with that type of intensity. And it helps that it's LeBron and Steph Curry. It helps. We're talking about two players that I believe will be connected to each other 15 to 20 years from now. We're going to talk about their long, I don't want to call it a rivalry, but their long history. Going back to the Cavs and the Warriors in the NBA Finals, and the way Golden State basically took over after LeBron and the Heat started to diminish a little bit. It's a fascinating story, and it's another chapter. And I don't believe that Adam Silver could have drawn that up any better last night.
Well, no, those two guys can be matched up for a very long time in the history of the game. Whenever you play in the game seven in the finals, that's going to come up, especially as dramatic as that game was. So they're always going to be tied to each other. That's kind of how it goes. But the play-in game was good for the Western Conference. The play-in for the East was not that great. I personally would rather have a play-in game for the 8th seed. Having it for the 7th and 8th is kind of too much. Like, we don't need to see the 10th seeds. You know what I mean? Like, the 10th seeds, really, we really don't need any extra games from them. They are who they are. They're where they're at for a reason. We don't need any extra games, but I get it. You know, I understand. But, man, long-term thinking, we can kind of switch this thing up, make the 8 and 9, play for the 8th seed, and call it a day.
Well, let's talk about tonight's game, Indiana-Washington. This is interesting to me because Washington has been one of the more entertaining teams down the second half of the season. If it's been Russell Westbrook and his outstanding play and the mesh with Bradley Beal, I mean, everything that the Wizards bring to the table, it's entertaining. I'm not saying it's great basketball, but it's entertaining. And tonight you get the Pacers on the road against Washington. This will be a fascinating game.
Yeah, so here's the thing with Washington. They had a backloaded second half of the schedule. So where they said they were playing every night because they had to make up a lot of games from earlier in the year when they had COVID and everybody had to evacuate and stay at home and quarantine for over 2 weeks. They're a little bit banged up. Bradley Beal's not 100%. Russell Westbrook's kind of been carrying things for what they do there. We'll see what happens. I would still pick Washington to win, but if Bradley Beal's not healthy, I could definitely see Indiana knocking them off and moving on to getting swept in the next round.
Yeah, the intrigue behind the play-in round of the Eastern Conference, it really isn't the same as the West. And I think it's going back to what you mentioned a few moments ago. We're talking about a 7-8 seed being the Lakers and the Warriors, not your traditional 7-8s. You talked about Bradley Beal not being healthy. He played 36 minutes against the Celtics, but it wasn't the Bradley Beal that we're accustomed to. I believe his plus-minus was minus 20. If I'm not mistaken, in that game against the Celtics. Westbrook struggled as well. He was 6 of 18 from the field. It just was not what we have been accustomed to seeing the second half of the season out of that backcourt. Even so, even if it was, even if Bill played outstanding, even if Westbrook played outstanding, the Celtics still win that game, and we know the Celtics are headed for a first-round exit at the hands of the Brooklyn Nets, and it's the same for whoever gets in as the 8th seed. That uncertainty, that certainty, does not exist in the Western Conference. And so I've talked a lot about the Western Conference playing around here on the show, and it has nothing to do with the fact that we're waiting the opponent for the Utah Jazz. It has everything to do with a 7-8 seed out of the West potentially making a deep run in the playoffs. That is not the case in the East. We have to be perfectly clear about that.
Man, the two East teams would be happy to get a game, Jordan. Like the Celtics and the... Whoever wins tonight will be happy to get a game. I told somebody the other day, this is the Celtics' last pay period of the season, and that's going to go. They have one more pay period left in the season, and that's it for them. Whoever wins tonight, Washington and Indiana, same thing. I mean, they're not here for a long time. Out West, it's just different. This is a weird year. In a normal year, when you have a 7-8 seed, it's probably not going to be this intriguing. Like, teams are better out West. We get that. But it's the reason why a team is a 10th seed. You know what I mean? Like, it's the reason why. We don't really need to see that. You know what I mean? We really don't need to or have to see that. They can keep it. But it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So it is what it is. It's one of those things where it's going to be the new norm, and we've got to get adjusted to it.
Jameson, before I let you go, I want to jump back over and talk about the Lakers for a moment because the first half last night was truly dreadful. Borderline embarrassing. LeBron, AD, and Schroeder were just not good yesterday for the Lakers. And I keep waiting for them to flick the switch. And we saw it to some extent in the second half. Third quarter, the Lakers were fantastic defensively. I don't think that we can overstate just how good Wesley Matthews was either, coming off of the bench and really changing things up in that game. And of course, LeBron over the final 8-9 minutes outside of the 2-minute stint that he had on the bench at around that 5-minute mark, he was phenomenal. Have you seen enough for us to say, okay, this is a team that can repeat? Because there are times I'm watching this team and I think, yes, I don't know that anyone can beat this team in a 7-game set. And there are other times I watch this team and I think, well, you know what? Maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I'm living off of what I saw last year. I think the question is still out there. We know what their potential is, but are they playing cohesive enough, even at times, to make you believe that this is a team that can hold up the Larry O'Brien at the end of the year?
They definitely can because they have the talent. They're deep enough. You mentioned Wesley Matthews coming off the bench. You know, having that luxury a lot of teams don't have that guy that's sitting on the bench and come in and make an impact like that without getting warmed up. You know, he played very good defense, made a couple of threes. Like, not every team has that kind of veteran presence. You got to have that. Now, the Lakers' issue is the rotation. They're going to have to go with Anthony Davis at five as these playoffs, you know, continue. That's going to be their biggest advantage they have over other teams is they have a guy that can play that position that can do everything on the court, and they need to roll with that because he is a guy that can make things very difficult for other teams on both ends. And having Drummond out there, you know, having Montrezl Harrell out there, those are regular season players. Those are guys that's cool for regular season, but, you know, in the playoffs, you need floor spacing. You need guys that are smart players. You need guys that other teams are not going to attack. And other teams are not going to attack Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has a similar type of defensive style to Gobert, but he's more athletic and he has more feeling and his ability. So that kind of gives you an idea what kind of defensive player Anthony Davis is.
I know that Anthony Davis wanted to play the four when he originally came over to L.A., and we saw this in the playoffs last year. The Lakers are most effective when he is playing the five, and I think in order to beat Utah, he's going to have to play the five. But one guy we didn't get to see last night, who I believe is going to get more run depending on the matchups, and Frank Vogel's not afraid to play the matchups, and I'm just looking ahead. If it's Utah or if it's the Clippers, Marc Gasol at some point in time is going to have to get some run in the playoffs because it's just a matchup issue.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you play a series versus Denver, you need all the bigs you can get. If you play versus Utah, you're going to need all the bigs you can get. So it is what it is versus those teams. But, again, we did, like you mentioned, the last year when the Lakers were at their best, it was when Anthony Davis at the five, LeBron at the four, fill out the roster with whomever else is working at that time. You take your chances.
Let's end with this, Jameson. Tomorrow night, Warriors-Grizzlies. I believe Golden State wins this handedly. I know that people in Utah will be rooting for Memphis, as they should. But it's inevitable. Sunday, Jazz Warriors, right? That seems inevitable.
Yeah, it sure does. And luckily they got the late game. They got the late game. The NBA did them some favors. The NBA could have put them on at 12:30 or could have put them on at, like, the 2:30, 3 o'clock p.m. slot, PST time. But they gave them the late, I think it was 6:30 start, 7:30 local time out that way. So they gave the Jazz a nice long break. They're giving the play-in team a nice long, break in time as well. And then we get the Warriors up there, and I think we have the Jazz winning that series in seven.
Jameson Welsh, again, our NBA insider. Always a pleasure to get you on the show, Jameson. Before I let you go, you can let the people know where they can find more of your work. I know you have a lot brewing, always have a lot brewing, always doing a lot behind the scenes. Where can they find more Jameson Welsh?
Yes, so I'm a little bit everywhere at this point in time. At the moment, I'm actually working on a project for the Jazz. The Jazz players will be getting a special gift from a company that I am part ownership of. It's New Life Kicks, sneaker restoration, and all that good stuff. Each Jazz player and, like, training staff, coaches, ownership, will all be getting a kit in the next week or so. Hopefully the logistic gods are on our side. But, yeah, we have some cool things working with that. We work with different NBA players and celebrities and people who have shoes that want to get them back to looking right. So a lot of good things, but I'm also on ESPN 1100 here in Vegas as well as other stations across the country.
Jameson, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll catch up again relatively soon. Thank you again for the time.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always.
We got a break one more time. We do have more Drive Time Sports on the other side. That's coming up next right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
To close out this edition of Drive Time Sports, fun show. Got to talk some NBA basketball. Got to recap the Emory baseball season. We've talked Carbon baseball and Carbon softball. Today, Emory baseball. Tomorrow, we'll do Emory softball. We'll also talk Emory soccer. And don't forget, you can listen and download these interviews whenever you would like. They're on demand right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. I love the season recap interviews. It really is special when you look at what these kids managed to accomplish this year. And I can't stress this enough. In the day and age that we live in, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, These box scores aren't going anywhere, right? So the legacy that these high school kids are developing right now, we're going to be able to look back on this for decades. It's kind of a neat thing. You know, and we had some great things happen this year. The Emory soccer team, well, those kids went all the way to the semifinals as a 13 seed. I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Winter. We'll also talk to Coach Bell. That's coming up on Drive Time Sports tomorrow here on the show. Also, we'll continue to talk NBA basketball. Warriors Grizzlies tomorrow. Utah Jazz playoff basketball starts here on KOAL Sunday. We don't have really anything else right now other than we know Utah is going to be playing the winner of that game tomorrow. I'm ready for playoff basketball. The play-in games were fun last night. I think they'll be fun this weekend, but I'm just ready to go. And I know the time for the Jazz game has been set, 7:30. That's what time Sunday's game is going to be. So live coverage right here on KOAL will start at 7:20. And again, that'll be Sunday night. The game will also be on TNT, so a nationally televised playoff game for the Jazz. Plenty to get into on the show tomorrow. I look forward to it. I want to thank Coach Rob Smith for taking out the time. Great to get Jamison Welsh back on the show as well. Talk about his projects going on right now, his involvement with the Utah Jazz. Really a neat thing. And so that was a fun topic as well. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.